What up, Grizz Nation?
Touchdown, Montana!
Beyonce, baby!
All I have is one thing to say. The pride and tradition of the Montana Grizzlies will not be entrusted to the timid or the weak. Let's go, baby! Up with Montana, boys! It's go time!
Showtime! Welcome to the 2025 Montana Radio Program of the Year, The Daily Drive. Here's your host, the 2025 Montana Sports Team of the Year, Ace Sauerwein.
And I'm a person that loves sports.
Yeah, I have no idea.
We're back live on the Daily Drive. What's the radio station again? Hold on. What do my notes say? KGRZ. 92.7 FM and AM 1450. KGRZMissoula.com, the KGRZ mobile app, if you are listening along live. Thursday, July 9th, 2026. They tell me it's Thursday, but really it's my Tuesday, which is pretty nice. Yeah. No complaints from this end. I really enjoy. Sorry, I had to take a swig of water there. I don't know if it's allergies still or what's going on. Had to weed whip our garden and kind of behind our house last night. Just kind of a mess. Ton of weeds. I don't know. I feel like I've just since then I've been... you know, I've been... My voice has been scratchy. Throat has been scratchy. I need some help. Help! Today's Daily Drive brought to you by our good friends at Y West Storage. Secure, convenient storage solutions right here in Western Montana. Give them a call today at 406-510-0590 and reserve your unit today. Welcome into the program. I'm Ace Sauerwein. Thanks for joining us. On today's show, we got a good one. First ever appearance from Jarrett Van Meter. Jarrett Van Meter is a writer. He writes in a lot of different publications. We'll talk more on Jarrett here in just a second, but Jarrett Van Meter's latest publication is about the old Continental Basketball Association. And two teams right here in Montana, the Billings Volcanoes and the Montana Golden Nuggets out of Great Falls. He had a great piece on the old CBA and the Montana teams, specifically Professional Basketball Association, even before the NBA. So we'll chat with Jarrett coming up next segment. Jarrett, also a volunteer coach with the Hellgate Knights boys basketball program. That should be a great conversation. We'll have Jarrett call in next here on the Daily Drive, probably, 10 to 12 minutes from now. Before we jump into the show, a couple other programming updates, reminders, et cetera, et cetera. You can always listen to the Daily Drive wherever you get your podcast. We recommend the KGRZ mobile app. That way you can always send us a message. Like Josh did yesterday when I was chatting about my road trip, I discussed the Corn Palace in Mitchell. I said how there wasn't enough corn at the Corn Palace for it to be called the Corn Palace. Josh just said, retweet on the Corn Palace. So we got another guy out there that says, Corn Palace? There's not enough corn. What the heck? But you can listen to the podcast wherever you get your pods. Yesterday on the show, Jackson Wagner was on. We did sports cinema for a movie that I did not like one bit, called The Beautiful Game. Cool story. It's about the homeless World Cup, but bad movie. Bad movie. Today's Daily Drive brought to you by Quality Seamless Gutters. Professionally installed gutters built to handle Montana weather. Call them today, 406-728-4002, for a free quote. On tomorrow's show, we are starting our new trivia season, if you will. A new segment coming to the show tomorrow called the Daily Drivagories. categories, but daily drive-agories. That'll be tomorrow. It is going to be a, the season will be July through March. 16 contestants, 16 players playing in a trivia contest, head-to-head trivia contest. Each trivia game will be a best of three. Two categories, or two daily drive-agories, will be sports-related, and a third will be non-sports. Could be anything. History, geography, movies, I don't know. Could be anything. We're going to go Premier League-like, where we're not going to have a bracket. Not like the team name game open. It's just going to be one long regular season to crown a championship. And there will be two players that will be relegated. Whoever finishes 15th and 16th, they're out of here. Get them out of here. So the Daily Drive-A-Gories debuts tomorrow. We're going to have an inner town square matchup. It'll be Wolfie from Z100 against our financial advisor, Nick Christensen. Those two played in the team name game open. Nick beat Wolfie. We'll see if the same result holds. But the Daily Drive-A-Gories begins tomorrow. Every contestant will play one time per month. One time in July, one in August, one in September, et cetera, et cetera. Looking forward to this one, though. In the category, so for instance, let's say that the category will be Super Bowl winners. I'll get you a list of all the Super Bowl winners. So for instance, there have been 20 Super Bowl winners, 20 different teams. Obviously, there's been a lot more Super Bowls, but 20 different franchises have won a Super Bowl. Head-to-head competition, let's say, you know, it's Wolfie versus Nick. We'll say something like, the first to 10. The first to 10, whoever can give me 10 franchises that have won a Super Bowl wins the point. Wolfie says, the Seahawks. Nick says, the Giants. Wolfie says, the Bills. I go, no, the Bills do not win. So Wolfie doesn't get the point. You get how it goes. Head-to-head, we'll go back and forth. The Daily Drive-A-Gories begins tomorrow. Really looking forward to that. I think it should be fun. It's a little more, it's more broad, broader, rather, than the team name game. But the team name game laying to rest. We still have to decide between me and Riley who wins. We're currently tied in the championship that was held a couple weeks ago, but I was gone last week. Corcoran is, he's resting up at Flathead Lake this week. You know, he lives a busy life in the, summer. He's got to get off his feet, you know? Got to get out of the coal mine. Got to go take some R&R time up at Flathead. Daily Drive-A-Gories begins tomorrow. We'll get a team name game open champion eventually. I don't know when, but hopefully we do. I didn't get to talk a lot about vacation yesterday. I kind of mentioned what I did. Road trip back to the Midwest. We saw the tourist stuff. Wall Drug. Corn Palace. Mall of America in the Twin Cities. Went to a baseball game. Spent some time on Lake Superior. Spent some time at a buddy's cabin. Spent some time back home. That was, you know, that was the gist of it. We were gone, we left June 26th, spent a night in Bozeman, and we were on the road all the way until July 5th. So, 10 days-ish on the road. It was just me and my girlfriend, Claire. I want to get your take on this. Claire and I, we did a pretty good job in terms of not killing each other on the road trip. I don't think Claire was annoyed with me until our last night on the road. We stopped in Billings. It was 8 o'clock-ish or so. I kind of wanted to power through. Claire said, "Nah, my back's tight." That's fine. We can stay here. But as we were pulling into the hotel in Billings, I don't even remember what I said. It may have been something about the parking lot. Like, oh no, just go around. Claire is the sweetest person I've ever met. I love her. And she's never mean to anybody. She's rarely annoyed. She became a little annoyed with me. A little annoyed. I could tell. You know, like you could tell when your significant other, like, oh, she's kind of bothered right now. And I had it coming. I think whatever my comment was not beneficial to the situation. I think we were trying to figure where the parking lot entrance was. Like one of them was roped off, another was roped off, and I think Claire's like, "Where am I going?" And I said something maybe a little smart assery. And I don't think she appreciated it. But my question is, significant other, best friend, parent, whoever, what's the longest you can spend with them consecutively? What's the longest time period you could spend with your significant other, mom, dad, best friend? Think of the person you like to be with the most. Heck, even dog, I guess. Nah, dog's different. No, dogs are excluded. The person you love to spend the most time with, what's the longest stretch of time you can spend with them without trying to rip their jugular out? Claire got annoyed with me on night 9, I believe it was. And I think that was her really first, it was like, "God dang it, what is the matter with you?" I don't remember if I was annoyed with her or not. Probably not. She's not very annoying. I am. I clearly am. What's the longest time period you can go without saying, "Okay, I'm going to kill this guy"? Because I got to think, because by the time we got home, Claire actually, she stopped in Bozeman. Her car was in Bozeman. I dropped her off in Bozeman. She spent some time with her family, and I got home, and I had probably 2 to 3 hours by myself, maybe even longer. I just kind of got some stuff done around the house, went and gave the car a bath, picked up some groceries. I got home, and I just remember being like, man, I think this is the first time I've actually had any alone time in 10 days. I need my alone time. This is no shot at Claire whatsoever. This is no shot at anybody that I'm hanging out with for that long. I can't do it. I can't do it and keep my sanity. I need decompression time. Flip on whatever TV show I'm watching, have a game on in the background, scroll on my phone, read, work around. I need my own time. And I have some friends. I have one of my best friends from school, from high school. He and his now wife, I swear to God, they're inseparable. You can't. When I come home, it's like, oh, they're both together. It's never one or the other, very rarely one or the other. It's always a duo. I don't get how that works. And Claire and I mean, we live together. Obviously we spend most nights together. But man, when you are with somebody on the road for 9 days, every night, sharing these small B&Bs, sharing the small confinements of a car, I don't remember, there was no time apart. I guess when I showered, when I went to the bathroom. But that's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, going to the showering. I'm not going to the bathroom for 10 minutes. I need that time. That's one thing I realized from a week plus long road trip. Oh, I need my time. I really do. Jason just wrote in on the KGRZ mobile app. I guess I can read this. I hope Jason's wife isn't listening. Jason wrote me and just said, "I get annoyed with my wife if I spend more than a night with her." Man, Jason, what the hell, man? Do you live with your wife? Jason's wife, I'm sure, says the same thing about Jason. One night is plenty. All right, anyways. I wanted to talk a little bit about the vacation because Jackson and I, we took up most of yesterday. So I want to talk about that, share my week. I had a great time with Claire, but I need my alone time. That's all. All right, coming up, Jarrett Van Meter, first time ever on the Daily Drive, volunteer coach over at Hellgate for the boys basketball program, also a writer. His articles are featured in several publications, coast to coast. I mean, Vermont all the way to California, Montana in between. We're chatting about his latest article that's going in Distinctly Montana called Hardwood Dreams on the High Plains. It is about the old, and I mean old, the old Continental Basketball Association, a pair of professional teams were here in Montana in Billings and Great Falls. Jarrett is on the show next, going down memory road maybe for some of you. Maybe some of you went to a Billings Volcanoes game or a Montana Golden Nuggets game in Great Falls. A couple of professional basketball teams featured here in 1980 through 1983. Great conversation coming up next, I'm sure, with Jarrett Van Meter next on The Daily Drive. Drive returns on a Thursday. It might help if I bring my microphone levels back up coming out of break. Today's Daily Drive, courtesy of Madhouse Farms, locally grown products in Montana agriculture you can feel good about. Two convenient locations, one over in the Y and one down in Lolo. Thursday, July 9th, getting ready for a weekend again. Heck, I've only been back at work for a couple of days. I'm already chomping at the bit to get back to Saturday. We have a fun segment coming up here on The Daily Drive. We are joined by Jarrett Van Meter. Jarrett is a writer and basketball coach. It is quite the combo. Jarrett, first off, thank you for reaching out. We got an article that I want to discuss here in just a second. That being the purpose of Jarrett coming on the Daily Drive, but writer and basketball coach, how do you make that work as a career, as a passion? I mean, how do you do both?
The writing came first. I grew up playing basketball. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. Loved basketball from day one and wasn't good enough to play in college or anything beyond high school. So, but I knew I wanted to be close to the game in my professional career, and that's how I got into journalism. I started off working in a small town newspaper, covering a little bit of everything, but eventually was able to start doing some sports coverage and moved back to Kentucky to cover some high school basketball. And being back around the game that closely reinvigorated my passion for the competition aspect of it. And that's when I decided I wanted to get into coaching as well. So for the past, it's been about 10 years now, I've combined the two. Winters for coaching. I kind of shut the laptop for the most part during the winter and dial into the coaching part of it. And then the rest of the year to pay the bills, I do a lot of writing, and that covers pretty much everything. I'm a generalist, I would say, but a lot of basketball writing still. And both of them scratch different itches, and I'm lucky to be able to do both.
I'm interested in the combo some more, and I do want to get into the writing aspect, but just to kind of bring that local tie to why we have you on today's Daily Drive. Now, you coach here in Missoula. You coach basketball over at Hellgate. So as a Kentucky guy, and more of an East Coast guy, how did you get linked up with Western Montana, and how did you end up here coaching basketball?
Coaching career started in North Carolina and then made my way back to Kentucky eventually. And then I was ready to move out west. I've been visiting Missoula every year for quite some time now. Some of my best friends from college live in the area, so I come out every year to visit them. Loved the town since day one. Yeah. And always kind of knew that I wanted to, if I could, figure out a way to move out there and be in the mountains, do trail running and mountain biking and the things that I love to do. And last year, it just sort of lined up last summer, and I was able to pull the trigger on making that move. And came to the area. Not with the idea of coaching. I didn't have a coaching job lined up or anything like that, but was able to bring some of my writing with me and had that going. And then once I settled down in the area, I got the itch, of course, as basketball season started to creep up on us and the leaves started to change. I said, well, I need to find a gym to be in this winter. And I kind of sniffed around on all the different programs in town and threw some lines out there, and I reached out to Coach Hayes through just email, and I said, I would love to meet for coffee, hear a little bit more about what you do and whatnot. And I had read a lot about his success and just everything that he does at Hellgate, and his reputation preceded him. But as soon as I met him for coffee, I was like, this guy is who I want to be with. That's he's who I want to learn from. And I was lucky enough that he said, you can come aboard in a volunteer capacity. And yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, he's the best coach I've been around. And yeah, he's built a wonderful staff there, and it's been awesome.
Jared Van Meter, the guest here on the Daily Drive, volunteer coach with the Hellgate boys basketball team, and Jeffrey Hayes, head coach over there, also a writer. We will get into the writing aspect here. He's got an article called Hardwood Dreams on the High Plains for distinctlymontana.com. We'll get into that in just a second. Before we get there, toughest question of them all, Jared. You've spent some time in Missoula. You now coach here in Missoula, live here. Your favorite restaurant, your go-to restaurant in Missoula is what?
Oh, man. I
told you, toughest question, man. I told you.
I know it's not really a restaurant, but I live very, very close to the Good Food Store. And I it's kind of an ongoing joke with my friends. They call it the canteen for me because I end up eating at the hot bar over there so much in the salad bar. So I'm a big good food store guy, but I love everything in town. Tagliere's, it's a pretty good food town, as you'll find in a college town. And so it's been fun getting to explore the culinary scene. But there, if you have any recommendations, put me on to them because I'm still learning.
Absolutely. So you're the first to say Good Food Store. I like that because it's outside the box. But I lived over near the Good Food Store, let's see, a year ago, a couple years ago. And I get it. That the hot bar at GFS, that is as good as it gets. Especially, I mean, if you're getting home from work or on your way, you're like, I don't really want to cook at home. You just pop in. It's fantastic. I'm right there with you, Jared.
Totally. Yep. Big
Good
believer.
Food store. All right, I like that. By the way, TNC, have you been to the Town and Country Lounge, that little dive bar located right next to a Good Food Store?
Yeah. I may have wandered in there once or twice.
Great place. We love, me and my friends, we love going there. We get ridiculed all the time. Like, you're going to TNC? I say, yeah, give TNC a chance. Great place.
Yeah, and my dog likes that patio.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's great. All right, let's get into the writing aspect now. Jared Van Meter, you write for a lot of different publications, but I want to get into the article today that we're chatting about titled Hardwood Dreams on the High Plains. It focuses in on some old-time professional basketball, the CBA, the Continental Basketball Association, with teams here in Montana, with Billings and Great Falls. First off, before we dive into maybe the X's and O's of the article, how did you get the idea to write about the CBA and the teams in Billings and Great Falls?
My favorite thing to write about is old basketball teams, old leagues. I do some game coverage and whatnot. It's tricky being in coaching and whatnot. It kind of limits what I can cover in real time, but I love writing about old teams and old leagues. And so I've done a lot of that throughout my career, and I'm always reading through histories of different leagues and old newspaper articles and whatnot, and keeping an eye out for any chapters that I don't know much about or don't know anything about. And pretty soon after landing in Missoula, I was reading about the CBA and saw that they had these two franchises that lined up at the exact same time in the early 80s for the same 3 years, that they had some pretty big names come through and play and coach for the teams, and that they had some good stories that went along with those. And I said, this would be a pretty good opportunity not only to do what I like to do in terms of historical basketball pieces and research, but also it'll give me an opportunity to better get to know the state that I'm living in and coaching in now. And it was a lot of fun from that standpoint of kind of knowing some of locations and the gyms that the people, my sources mentioned in our interviews and whatnot. So it was cool to do that in tandem with getting to know the state.
The article covers the two teams, the Billings Volcanoes and the Montana Golden Nuggets. First off, very fun team names, and they both have different origins. The Billings team stemming from Hawaii and moved from Hawaii to Billings. But the article itself, is it a what would you, how would you describe it? A feature on the CBA, a feature on the two teams? Is it an exploration? Is it, I mean, how would you explain the article?
Sort of just a showcase of those 3 years when we had really high level basketball in Montana, but also leading in with a lot of the background that of course led to the birth of those two teams and the two franchises. The background sort of sets the stage for what became a pretty cool rivalry for 3 years that saw a lot of names that went on to become household basketball names pass through the state and kind of get their start for some of them. So I would say it's a feature of those 3 years, but with a lot of buildup. It's sort of in cinematic terms, you start right in the action and then let's rewind a little bit. Yeah. And then you take them in up to the action of the 80s with a little bit of historical context.
Hellgate boys basketball coach and writer Jared Van Meter joining us on the Daily Drive. Today's show is courtesy of Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles, great service, and a no-pressure buying experience located off of Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. We are chatting about his article, Hardwood Dreams on the High Plains, a look at the Old School Continental Basketball Association, the CBA. You can find that article. It's on DistinctlyMontana.com. We actually retweeted it on the KGRZ Twitter page. You can check out the link there and read along as you are listening to our conversation now. What was one thing or maybe the biggest thing that shocked you when you were starting to dive into the CBA, whether it was a player that rolled through the Montana teams, or I know you talked a lot about the finances and how it was a struggle to really keep those teams above water. What was maybe the biggest shock to you in your research?
I thought that George Karl being in Great Falls for all 3 years was really cool. There's also an interesting little tidbit that the first coach, when the Volcanoes rolled into Billings, they needed a new coach, and they hired a guy for the first year named Diamond Dick Hammond. And Diamond Dick Hammond was from New Hampshire, and kind of the choice left a lot of people scratching their heads because of his background and sort of, I guess, lack of experience. But the funny thing about the choice in a more historical context is the guy who he beat out for the job in Billings that first year, who was Phil Jackson. Dick Hammond was there only a year before Bill Klukas came in and had some good success with the franchise. But also another funny tidbit is obviously they were based in Great Falls in Billings, but the first ever meeting between the two teams was an exhibition game in Missoula at Adams Fieldhouse. So that was in November of 1980 when nobody knew much about either of the teams, and they squared off in Missoula for the very first time, which was a cool little thing to find. That the stories of their gyms were really interesting.
Yeah.
The Volcanoes playing in the Metra and the Great Falls playing at CMR High School. So two very different environments, and a lot of the travel stories are fascinating about going up to Canada and going up to Anchorage and flying over to Maine and the East Coast. And so a lot of the smaller details, me as a history nerd, I guess, those were the things that really tickled me and that I really enjoyed. But the basketball was obviously very fun to learn about as well.
I don't want to give too much away from the article because I want our listeners to go check it out on distinctlymontana.com. Again, we also have a retweeted on our Twitter. But one of the stories I saw, and I'm misremembering if it was the Golden Nuggets or the Volcanoes, they took a trip up to Alberta, and they had to move to a middle school. Is that right? Was that the story?
Yeah. There was something going on. I forget what he said. It was maybe like plumbing or something at the facility that the Alberta team normally played at. So they moved to a local school, and one of the rims was bent, and bent pretty badly enough to where the Golden Nuggets said, "We're not shooting at that rim. You dragged us over here. We're not going in towards that basket." So the Alberta team had to play going towards that basket for the entire game. So they didn't switch ends at halftime, which is pretty interesting. But yeah, a lot of stories like that. And that's just kind of what you get with a, even though it was just a step below the NBA, the drop off in sort of the facilities and the pageantry and the day-to-day life was pretty drastic. And that was really interesting to hear about as well.
You had a lot of great interviews and names dropped in the article. You already mentioned George Karl, who was a coach up here for 3 years. Klay Johnson, NBA guy who played up here. Of course, teammates with Magic Johnson. No relation, as you pointed out in the article. But through all of your interviews and all the guys you got to talk to, is there one that's going to jump out to you and you're going to remember that conversation for a while?
All of them. They were all so generous with their time. Just even Iverson, the owner of the Golden Nuggets for that first year. I mean, that was a tough run for him that 1 year, but he was very open about it and very generous with his time and gave thoughtful answers. And that was the case with all of them. And I was very grateful for that because it was a long time ago. So it's hard to put all the pieces together and make sure and get the story right. And they were all patient with me drilling down on specific details and whatnot. It was fun to hear from Rob Spear because he's from Montana and he was one of the few players who played for either team that was from the area. So he could shed a little bit more of a local perspective, which was interesting. He played down at Butte Central and then at University of Great Falls. But they were all great. U.S. Reed, Klay Johnson, Karl Nix. I mean, Karl Nix played with Larry Bird at Indiana State on that very famous team. So he's seen a lot of really interesting things. But he was a great storyteller and just a very good interview, as they all were. So I loved them all.
Jared Van Meter, the writer of Hardwood Dreams and the High Plains, an article looking at the old CBA and the two teams in Montana, Great Falls, the Montana Golden Nuggets, and the Billings Volcanoes. Great piece. Go check it out. Again, I didn't want to give away too much of the article. Would love for people to go read it on their own. But, Jared, any other stories or just kind of background, the research that you wanted to share on air before maybe we chat a little high school basketball here in Montana?
Just like I said before, the steep drop off from life in the NBA to life in the CBA was really fascinating to hear about. There was when the Alberta team, this story's not about the Alberta team, but they came into existence the same time that the Golden Nuggets did and that the Volcanoes moved over from Hawaii, and together those three teams, Alberta, the two Montana teams, and then the previously established Alaska franchise, they were the Western Division. So they played a lot of games against each other. And one of the funny things I read about in an old newspaper article was the Alberta team, which is an agricultural part of Canada. It's not Vancouver or Toronto or Montreal, and they sold tickets by people could come in and exchange grain for tickets. So there was just a lot of really interesting tidbits like that about life in the CBA. And Klay Johnson told a story about parking his car near the apartment that he lived in Billings because he had to run a heater stick out to the car to keep in the gas tank overnight to keep his car from freezing to the point where it wouldn't start. So
Oh,
it was
man.
interesting, yeah, just hearing about these guys coming from different parts of the country and adjusting to life in Montana.
I lied. I'm going to go back to the article here. I also found it interesting that the Continental Basketball Association started out as the Eastern Pennsylvania Basketball League, also in 1946, which is even, before the NBA, as you wrote in the article. But how does a league that starts in Eastern Pennsylvania expands to New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts? Okay, that's fine. Rebrands as the Eastern Basketball Association. That all makes sense. I think that's local expansion. How does it move 7 years later to Anchorage, Alaska? Did you find the rhyme or reason behind why the hell they moved so far away in this league?
And it was just Anchorage at that point. There were no other teams out. So it was all those East Coast teams and
Just
then
bizarre.
Anchorage. Yeah, so that would have been pretty lousy to have to play for that Anchorage team and fly that far for every single game. But then pretty quickly after that, they added the equally far-flung Hawaii
Yeah.
franchise, which ultimately became Billings. But it doesn't really make any sense. No, I think that the infrastructure must have been pretty good of the league when on the East Coast. So they and I have the name of the guy, the Alaska franchisee somewhere. It's in my research somewhere, but he must have just been impressed with the bones of the league and said, "I want a piece of that, but I'm in Alaska." Yeah, it was pretty bizarre, pretty wild.
Interesting. Wild stuff. Again, go check out his article, Hardwood Dreams in the High Plains, distinctlymontana.com. We've also got it retweeted on KGRZ's Twitter page, X page, whatever you want to call it. All right. I know we're, it's middle of July, but Jared getting ready for basketball season, Hellgate High this coming winter. What are you maybe looking forward to the most about this year's team and the overall high school basketball season coming up this year?
Oh boy, just year two of being in a great program. I'm excited. I didn't get to work much. I was with the younger guys this past year, much more working with the freshmen and sophomores. So I didn't get a chance to work much with Zane Gilhouse and Evan and Spencer Wayland and that crew, Parker Link. But I really enjoyed watching them. Obviously, they played great basketball. They were well coached by Coach Hayes, but I'm gonna hopefully be working with the younger or the older group a little bit more this year. And yeah, really excited. A lot of juniors, a sophomore and junior led team this year with obviously Liam Dick at the front of that. But it's exciting. It's an exciting group. They have. They're going to have a few years together, but and with Coach Hayes, he doesn't want to wait a few years. He wants to win this year. It'll be exciting. It'll be fun to watch. And yeah, I'm Liam Dick is as good a player as I've been around as a coach. So I'm excited to see what comes with that and just the group around him: Max Ridgeway, Levi Whalen, who's Spencer's younger brother, and like Will Petrino, Dylan Goley, and so yeah, it's going to be a great group, and I expect big things from the Hellgate Knights.
On a personal note, to end things here, have you adapted to Montana winters? Did they kind of, punch you in the nose when you first showed up? How was it?
Oh, for sure. I'm such a baby. I was crying by October, or whining by October, and everybody by the end of the winter, I was like, that was insane. And everybody said that was nothing this past winter. Apparently, it was pretty mild. So yeah, really looking forward to if that was a mild winter, I'm really looking forward to seeing what a brutal winter is like. But basketball season helps with that, being in the gym with the guys. So as long as I have that, I should be able to soldier through.
There you go. Have you got to a Grizz football game or Grizz basketball game, Lady Grizz, anything like that?
Been to a few Grizz basketball games, have not been to a football game yet. It's awesome. I mean, I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, like I said, and everybody there loves the Kentucky Wildcats, but the passion for the Grizz is it's right there with the passion for the Wildcats in Lexington. I mean, obviously Missoula is a smaller town, UN's a smaller school, but per capita, I guess, or whatever the metric is, it's just as passionate a fan base. And so going to those games is a lot of fun, and just seeing how much people care, seeing that Grizz logo everywhere in town, and everybody knows all the players for all the teams. It's a lot of fun to live in a town like that again. And yeah, I love it.
We got to get you to a football game, but Jarrett, we appreciate you taking a few minutes here on the Daily Drive. Love the article. Great work. And I'll have to shoot you a text. We'll have to meet up at TNC some night, all right?
Sounds good. And thank you so much for doing this. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Jarrett Van Meter, writer of Hardwood Dreams in the High Plains. Check it out, distinctlymontana.com. Also, boys basketball coach over at Hellgate High School. The Daily Drive continues on after this on KGRIZZ.
The KGRIZZ studio. It's the Daily Drive with Ace Sauerwein.
And I'm a person that loves sports.
So you know that guy that you just heard? Not Trump. Not that last guy, but hold on. Can I find his voice again?
What's up?
This is, nope, not Eli.
This is the voice.
Nope.
Hey, this is
nope.
Hey, this is
Trump. Nope.
Back at it.
This guy.
In the 2025 Montana Radio Program of the Year, the Daily Drive.
Although we're no longer the 2025 Radio Program of the Year, but I had to find his voice. So that guy, he does all of our branding, right? He's the big voice guy. We joke that we just have him on like a stationary bike in the basement, and every time I need something, I go, Hey, I need you to voice this. I just found out I don't know if he works with us anymore. Yeah. I went to submit something and he wasn't there. Now I need a new big voice guy, I guess. Yeah, this is an emergency. Maybe I can fill in. The Daily... You're listening to The Daily Drive. How's that? Have I ever given you my Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off impression? Well, I think you should be sorry, for Christ's sake. A family member dies and you insult me. What the hell is the matter with you? Rudy! I want my daughter out in front of that school in 10 minutes by herself. Do you read me, Buster? This is George Peterson, Chicago Police. Nothing pairs better with game day than the best burger in... I can't do a Cameron impression when I'm doing a live read. Today's Daily Drive brought to you by the... Now, see, that sounds more like talk show host or like classic radio dork, you know? The Mo Club. Nothing pairs better with game day than the best burger in town and a cold one on tap. You'll find both at the Mo Club. Today's Daily Drive also brought to you by Stockman Bank. I'm Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day... Nah, it doesn't work. Support for the show comes from Stockman Bank, Montana's largest family-owned community bank operating across the state of Montana. All right, let's bust out of that. Huh. I just blacked out for a minute there. What happened? All right, closing up the show. One news and note on the... close to home here at the University of Montana. Did you see that there is some North End Zone merchandise now that you can purchase? If you go to gogrizz.com/North End Zone. Yeah, there's a shirt available. It says North End Zone. So if you're one of those season ticket holders in the North End Zone, merch is for you. Yeah, I saw Mike and James Nugent both supporting the North End Zone shirts at inside Washington Grizzly Stadium. Eli Gilman was wearing it as well. Pretty cool, though. I like that. Coming up with some North End Zone merch. Good idea. Love that from UM. Again, gogrizz.com/North End Zone. You can share your North End Zone story, information on shirts, merch, all that. Okay. Closing up the show, you know me, I love play-by-play stuff, right? I love play-by-play announcers, and I love hearing their journeys. One of the segments we do here on this show is called Play-by-Play Chat, where we converse with a play-by-play announcer. A couple weeks ago, we had Mick Tidrow, voice of Ball State, who also used to be the voice of the Paddleheads for a summer. So I just love the art of play-by-play, and I love the business. It's interesting to me. This story, and I only got a couple minutes left here, came out this morning that the voice of the San Antonio Spurs, Jacob Toby is his name. He, well, is no longer the voice of the San Antonio Spurs. He was let go by the Spurs after a post on his Instagram said that he was cheating on his girlfriend. I mean, I don't think that it was Jacob himself who posted that, but there was a post on his Instagram that said, "This is my girlfriend of 6 years, but I cheated on her with Lauren Waters." And then it was this girl was also tagged as Lauren Waters. "So feel free to continue following me if you really think I'm a good guy, because I'm not." And then the next picture was some pictures of him and this new girl, I guess, this Lauren gal, which, oh boy. Oh no. So the Spurs parted ways with him. He was a TV play-by-play guy for the Spurs. This was his second season working as the voice of San Antonio. All I know, I'm not gonna go on a rant about what a scumbag he was, because I don't know the story, and I don't know if he should have been terminated. I don't know that. But, oh, by the way, the twist was, too, he cheated on his girlfriend with apparently the sister of one of the Spurs. Yeah. All I will say is, if I got the voice of the San Antonio Spurs and then was fired just a couple years later because of a cheating scandal, oh boy. I don't know if I'd ever be happy again if I lost the job as voice of the San Antonio Spurs. I know that sounds extreme, and you know, even if I was the one who screwed up the opportunity, I don't know if I'd ever be happy again. Like, I finally reached that pinnacle, and then I get let go because of my own doings. Yikes. Anyways, tomorrow, the Daily Drive. Daily Drive-a-Gories makes its debut, our new trivia contest. That's tomorrow. Bye-bye.